Well, in this day and age, right now, in this little space and time that we're in, it is difficult to find something to talk about for a podcaster such as myself. Whether it is snippets of conversations, visits with friends, an incredible lightning show that we had a couple days ago just before an incredible summer storm. There is so much that is dark. There are things happening that are good. And everything seems to be in pieces and it just runs through your head and it's hard to grab hold of something if you do things the way I do things. And so this is why I find it very difficult to find something to talk about these days. As I said, a lot of dark, not a lot of light. And for me, it's this question of how to move the story forward, whether it is a thought, a snippet, something. There is a saying, and this is the snippet that I'll start with in this podcast. There's a saying, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And that is going to be our jump-off point in this podcast. You've heard me talking in these podcasts recently about the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, and I'm pushing it very hard and asking people to sign up for it because I'm going to expand the newsletter and the subscription a little bit. And I want to get people signed up for the newsletter so they know what I'm doing and they know when I'm doing it. And what I've been doing with the newsletter is just giving people a review of the podcast I do at the end of the month and say, here's what I did. This is stuff you've missed that you might want to listen to, but there's a lot more I can be doing with this. So what I want to do is get people signed up for it. And you can do that by going to thebobdavispodcast.com. You look over to the right-hand column. It says sign up for the Bob Line newsletter. If you're on a phone, that's going to be at the bottom. So when you hit the page, you scroll all the way to the bottom and you're going to see sign up for the Bob Line newsletter. You enter your name and email. You're going to get an email from me that says, hey, have you signed up for the, do you want to sign up for the Bob Line newsletter? If you say yes, you're good to go. That's just basically a filter so we don't get the signups full of Russian, hackers and Ukrainian hackers. So if you get that email and you, after you enter your email and your name, then you know that it's for real. So then you say yes, and you're signed up and subscribed to the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, which is sponsored by Supply Solutions, which is a business-to-business company that supplies everything from paper to toilet paper to hand sanitizers to all sorts of things that people need. Read more about it in the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, Supply Solutions. I hate my printer. And I hate paying for print cartridges because they're really, really expensive. Guess what? Why pay more to print? And for you to solve this problem, Cartridge World can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores. Cartridge World cartridges guaranteed to perform as good as new. You can get free delivery on qualifying orders. You can even get a printer if you qualify. Cartridge World takes care of you from Maple Grove, 763-420-6632, across the metro and the state of Minnesota, 763-420-6632. Cartridge World. Click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com for more info. Yeah, in my nocturnal world, I get up at some point in the afternoon. I check the news feeds. Every story, every commentary starts with an if and ends with a when. It's nothing but predictions. In fact, I just looked. So I have my methods. I've mentioned what I do today as I look for patterns and I scan. And so I get up and I make myself coffee. Sometimes it can be as late as 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I sit on the deck and I just scan all of the websites and look at everything. And just today, this evening, I went online and I went to one of my social commentary, political commentary pages, and it was nothing but if, when, constant predictions of the future. So then you go to social media, and it's nothing but anger and fear and frustration and name-calling, links and memes. Even the right has suddenly discovered the extent of all of this dissent. The right that seemed thrilled over the past 3 years whenever their namesake attacked and called people names and invited what? Invited dissent, fighting, and frustration. So it's amusing to me. And I hate to say that it's amusing. I don't know how something as negative as some of what we're seeing today can be anything less than horrifying, but it is amusing. And it's amusing Because I did more than one podcast about this environment in the month of July, and then it's very interesting because suddenly this idea that we have reached the point of no return is everywhere. Every commentator, including people on the right, people in the moderate center, people on the left, is this this point of no return, which we feel as though we have reached. What did I say in one of the podcasts? Living in a dream, living in a delusion, living in a delirium, the delirium essentially being an acute sense of not being able to even determine what is up and what is down or describe what it is that you're seeing, to communicate the confusion that you feel. And I kind of feel that that is. Now, I don't know why. Obviously, there's reasons for it. I don't need to go into them here because you know what they are. If you're listening to this in the present time frame in 2020, in the summer of 2020, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you listen to this 10 years from now, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But you people 10 years from now will already know what is going to happen. We don't. And so when I pick up a newspaper, when I look at a website, when I look at a series of commentaries, and it's literally one thing after another, if this doesn't happen, then this will happen. If this guy doesn't do that, then this is going to happen. What if this happens? What if that happens? Here's what will happen. And it's all just nonsense because nobody knows what's going to say and what's going to happen. And I just, one of the things I wanted to say was, I don't think, and this is a strong statement, I don't think there is a single thing right now that I could read that would surprise me or cause me to say, well, that's just crazy. I mean, nothing that I would, you couldn't bring me something where I wouldn't say, well, we're living in a nut house, where every new breathlessly covered thing that isn't even a thing, even when it is a thing, makes me shrug. So what? A bunch of Black Lives Matters and Trump protesters fighting in a ditch? Pure comedy. A woman with a New Jersey accent throwing a tantrum in a grocery store because they ask her to wear a mask, calling the people that ask her to wear a mask in the store communists? So what? A current president who wants his face on Mount Rushmore? Whatever. Is that a Saturday Night Live bit, or did that really happen? Even a giant pile of fertilizer exploding in Beirut, Lebanon, and I'm supposed to care about that. The best part of it was the graffiti that somebody put on a wall that said, "My government did this." And I thought, wow, if that isn't something that seems to be transmitted right back, that I basically said, which is, amen, yes, your government did do this. All the while, this storm gathers, and you kind of hear audio of a recent storm in the background that just seemed to take all day to build. The lightning is almost constant in this audio track behind me, the thunder too. And the thought that has occurred to me is simple. The slogan or the phrase, if nothing changes, nothing changes. Now, this was used in relation to families in crisis or codependent families or families with drug addict, alcoholic parents, things of that nature, this sort of codependent sense that if nothing changes, then it's just going to continue to go. And so when people go for therapy after living in that kind of a family or household for most of their lives, you know, especially if they're young, they go to a therapist and the therapist asks, what are you going to change? And the person says, well, I don't know what I could change. I really don't want to change anything. And the response is, well, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And yes, we are living in a seemingly codependent, seething mass of confusion and insanity, so insane that in order to keep your sanity, you have to laugh at it because there's no way that you can make sense of it. And I am really amused at the people who continue to try to write things, to make conclusions or to advocate this direction or that direction, and every day it absurdity upon us, absurdity upon us, absurdity gets piled onto the giant pile of fertilizer that one must think has to blow at some point. And an explosion of that magnitude, because of the pile of crap that we have had piled on top of us, is going to make Beirut look like a 4th of July fireworks. How many of us have said, I'm done with this, or something else? How many of us have said, something has to give, something has to change? How much more of whatever it is we're having right now, whatever you could even put a label on that we're having, can we really take? And as I said, I can't even give it a name. What do I research? Most of it I've shared with you already. Do I research the president's desire to have his face chopped into Mount Rushmore, which is not going to happen? I mean, should I say that or shouldn't I say that? Because, you know, the next day you might see people up there chiseling Donald Trump's face into Mount Rushmore. There's just no point in saying that this is going to happen or that's going to happen. It is just the weirdest time that I have ever lived through, bar none. And others have said the same thing. People much older than me, people younger than me, we just don't know what to think. And there's a sense of numbness and yet a sense of horror and a sense of shaking your head and just saying, what? What? And it doesn't matter. Again, I have to say this because there's this whole partisan divide crap going on. People think, oh, you must be talking to this group or you must be talking. I put up a podcast about economics and I used economic numbers that are just simply put out by the Department of Labor. Unemployment numbers, GDP growth numbers, GDP annualized growth numbers or non-growth numbers. It wasn't a podcast that said, I think this is what's going on, or I say this is what's going on. I asked a question, and I said, here's some data, and here's some things for you to think about, right? And some of the responses were, you're a communist. It's like, what part of I'm a communist is, here's the GDP numbers, makes any sense? And you just say, well, this is just literally absurd. So, yeah, it's just the weirdest time that I have ever lived through. And I've talked to a lot of people, lots of different age groups, young and old, and everybody is pretty much on the same page when it comes to the weirdest time ever. So there's lots of advertising for insurance, but there's not too many personal stories about service for insurance. And I've often told the story about how I chose Kim Nybo at State Farm because the guy that was my insurance agent never called me and they just kept raising my rates. Never heard from the guy. And I was with them for a long time, stupidly. Kim Nybo saved me hundreds of dollars on premiums and they take care of you when you need it. State Farm is great and Kim Nybo's team is amazing. And she makes sure that they're amazing. She works with them. You know, this is an amazing person. I've known Kim for a while. And I got to tell you, her and her team, Tammy and all the other people at Kim Nybo Insurance are great. So they're in Columbia Heights and Minneapolis. Auto, home, property, business, and life. Cars, boats, motorcycles. And Kim would just ask to make sure if you have an ATV that it is insured. She told the story recently of a client that, you know, had an accident in an ATV and it wasn't insured. And so obviously she's working with those guys to try to figure out some solutions. But if you have ATVs, if you have those portable vehicles like you have at the lake, get them insured because it can mean the difference between being a person with some peace of mind if something happens and really having a crisis if not. 763-571-6111. 763-571-6111. Kim Nybo Insurance. Or click on the banner at the top of the page of the Bob Davis podcast.com with Kim's picture on it. It takes you to Kim Nybo, Kim Nybo, N-Y-B-O, Kim Nybo at KimNybo.com. In the news these days, there's lots of talk about foreign manufacturing and all kinds of issues and problems and questions. It's another one of those things that's up in the air. So companies are bringing some of their manufacturing or all of their manufacturing back to the U.S. If you're looking for an American manufacturing company, remember DepoStar, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit them online at DepoStar.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Even the storm was weird because in our neck of the woods, it was really hot all day and the storm kind of blew up And then you would have thought, well, it's just going to storm. Well, the clouds got weird and the lightning just kept going, like going, it constant lightning and thunder, and the thunder got closer and closer, but it just kept, as you can hear, it just kept coming. And it was just the strangest storm that went on all night. When it finally broke, it rained, and then there was another storm and it rained, even that was weird. And I talked to somebody in a different part of the country today that said we had exactly the same kind of storm. And it's like, have you ever seen a storm like that? I haven't. Not that I can remember. Maybe I have, but I've never seemed to see a storm that took that long to come together. And somebody said to me, actually it was my mother said to me, who is 98 years old. She said, well, maybe it's the aliens. Yes, exactly. It's the aliens. The ships are coming into the atmosphere and it's producing this Hollywood storm track thing. So yeah, it's the weirdest time ever. And there's just nothing more that you can say about it. And still, there are what I see as potential bright spots, really, when it comes to things changing. Been hanging out with some people lately, and this is interesting, and I may do a podcast about this at some point, but they're all living in a big house together, and they're actually actively working on building not just a sense of community, but a real community together. And these people are in their 30s, late 20s, early 30s, and I actually said to one of them recently, you know, your grandmothers 60 years ago were, you know, standing around in the suburban backyard or even in the city, baby on the hip, father home from the war, first job, either living in their parents, you know, upstairs, or they had bought their first house in the suburbs, a place where they would probably raise 5-6 kids. And those people had no sense of not knowing how things were going to go because there was a plan. Certainly they were worried about what was going to happen in the future economically. They were concerned. There was great concern about what was going to happen with all this nuclear war stuff. But there was a plan, and there was a sense that somebody was working on that, and Eisenhower was president. And, you know, that stasis, that stable environment, even if it didn't feel stable to those people who were at the time in their 30s. So your grandparents today who are 80, 90 years old, they were in their 30s during that period of time, and they'd lived through a pretty heavy period of uncertainty and volatility from the 30s onward. And so would I say that they were numb? Interesting question. I think they took it as it came, because I think they'd learned to do that. And then they raised a whole generation of kids, the baby boomers, who then had another group of kids that are today determined as the millennial generation and Gen Z, who have different ideas about things, that lived in a stable environment. And so the instability is very difficult, and it breaks apart and has been breaking apart a sense of community. This is not to say that the Levittown, New York, or the Park Forest, Illinois of the world were perfect. It is to say that that sense of stability and certainty for all that it was and wasn't stopped working a long time ago. And so these people, these younger people, are working on building a sense of community. And of course, I do have a little community of New York expats up at the lake, my nephews and son, and yet more to come from LA this time. The whole work from home thing, with people who are literally refugees from cities where they can't go out, they're afraid to go out, they're concerned about going out, whether it's riots in the Miracle Mile in Chicago, and people in that community there, there's people that have, that's a developed community now, where when I was growing up, that was just the city. That's now a developed community, and those people are now saying, I think we should think about moving. And you never heard that before. There was a sense of, you know, community in the city, and that's changing. So this sense of community is breaking down, and people are having to rebuild a sense of community that perhaps didn't exist before, where people you don't know are living next to you, that you're working together, you're working from home. There's a lot of things going on right now. And personally, I think we should be talking about changes. I think we should be talking about what changes we can make, not what's going to happen, not when such and such happens, not if this happens, but what we can do right now. Why and how? Because, again, and I keep saying this, and I feel the need to keep saying it, the old way is not coming back. The way forward has not been forged. It won't be forged in this environment. And I don't think in this environment the way forward can be forged collectively. So for me, a big change is to refuse to advocate. And I've been doing this for quite some time, and it's gotten to the point now where I feel good about it. I will not tell you what's right or wrong. I am not going to tell you those people think this and these people think that and this is what it's going to lead to, because each of us has to figure this stuff out in our own way. We have to stop telling people what to think. We have to stop telling people what's going to happen if this doesn't get done this way, or we will never and we won't have any sense of community values. So I feel really good about refusing to advocate, because it's actually now more interesting for me to listen and observe and actually see what the outcome is rather than trying to predict it. And I've talked about that, you know, plenty of podcasts. And worse for me to tell people what they should advocate for and what they should do and how they should think and how they should vote. Because we're in such a surreal situation where almost everything seems normal that isn't normal. And so I laugh because there's no way to say this is what's going to happen, because you don't know that. If nothing changes, do we know what's best for us today? When you talk about community and you talk about values, do we even know what our values are? I was taking a walk today, just thinking about, my God, what am I going to talk about? I got to do a podcast. Can't think of anything. And I realized, A, this is part of the creative process. This is what I do. I'm not the kind of person that's just going to sit down like I did 25 years ago and just pick five stories out of the news and talk about them, because that doesn't serve anyone. And so you want to do podcasts that are, at least if they're not groundbreaking, at least it's tilling the broken land, the ground that you broke before a little bit. If you consider, you know, what people do in artistic pursuits as ice breaking, at least it's trying to come in behind the icebreaker. And one of the things that occurred to me was, this consternation about what to do in a podcast is part of the creative process. I can tell you what my values are, and the reason I bring this up is I was thinking, I was thinking about this concept of community and values and national values and local values and things of that nature, individual values, values as part of a social segment or social community. And then I had these questions come to me, which were, do you know what's best for us? Do we know what's best for us? So do we know what our values really are, or what they should be? I can tell you what my values are, right? It's easy for you to say, here's my values. I know what I think. But then when you say, okay, let's expand those out to a larger community, a region, a state, a country, what are we going to stand on? And right now, all of the things that we could stand on seem to be built out of sand. They slip through our fingers, our feet slip on them, we sink down in them, and it doesn't matter who's saying whatever. It just doesn't hold. The center to hold doesn't feel like it is there. And what happens if there isn't a center to hold? And the next thing that occurred to me was this question of whether we are immune from failure. And I mean catastrophic systems failure as a national entity. We've seen it happen in our lifetimes, all over the world, in different countries and different systems that have literally fallen apart. And we always think, because we're Americans, it can't happen to us. It won't happen to us, because we're what? We're exceptional. We're incredible. We have been, we've had the U.S. Constitution pounded into our heads, and yet today, in a very short period of time, people are advocating for their guy, whoever their guy is, to virtually ignore the Constitution. I haven't heard anyone talk about what's constitutional. It's very unusual to hear Republicans talking about what one person wants to do and Democrats talking about what's constitutional. It's bizarre. It literally is part of this whole upside down kind of environment. It used to, be... Maybe, yes, we would be able to survive a catastrophic systems failure. When I say catastrophic systems failure, our government did this, the sign in Beirut after the big explosion, that the whole system would just break down. And I used to think that, yes, maybe we would be able to reconstruct and everything would be okay because our values, our collectively held community values, would see us through. They were values that started at the very top, came all the way down into the local communities. But after what I've seen in the last few months, I don't think that's true anymore. I don't think I can say that definitively anymore. I don't think I can say definitively, we have values and they're going to see us through. I don't think so. What I see is a lot of words with no substance. I see a lot of false gods. I see a lot of lies. I hear a lot of demands. I witness a lot of demonstrations. I see many people wanting what they want when they want it. And if we don't get it, we're going to take it. And I see a lot of people waiting or wanting to move or moving. People in the cities that are saying for the first time that I've ever heard, I live in a city that is very much cosmopolitan. And you never heard people saying, you heard some malcontents saying 20 years ago, oh, I'm getting out of the city. It's bad. But nothing like I grew up with in Chicago, where droves of people moved out of the city. It's the first time I've ever heard in Minneapolis people that should have a stake in urban communities, had a stake in urban communities, who are saying, I just want to get a house someplace on 10 acres of property and get out of here. I don't feel safe. I don't like what's happening. It doesn't make sense to me. And these are not... For lack of a better term, these are not Trump people. These are what many people would consider part of the liberal urban core in a modern northern city in America circa 2019, 2018 or 2017. And I see a lot of people throwing up their hands and saying, I'm getting out of here. This isn't working. I want to go somewhere that's controllable. I want to go somewhere where it's simpler. I want to go somewhere out away from all of this where I can ... fill in the blank. Have my garden, do my canning, ride my horse, have a home office, work from home, have my boat, all of that. And my city friends say, this town is making me nervous, or literally, there's no future here. I've heard people say recently, I just want to get in a van or RV and just leave and never come back. And boy, I do too. The only thing that holds me back is my business community. And the question, okay, so you get in your van and you go somewhere, then what? What's going to happen? You're going to be driving around the country. And I've certainly done it, and I will continue to do it. I do it all the time. But then what? It seems like a great adventure, and I may do it at some point. But then what? And I think that's the big question. What happens if they say, oh, if you're in North Dakota, you can't leave? What happens if they... So there are many, many uncertainties. And I hear all these things in snippets of conversation that people are saying, and it's disturbing. But most of the time, what I hear is, I just wish it would stop. But it's not going to. And if we don't change, then nothing will change. And if nothing changes... Change to what, you say? Well, that's a personal question. I can't tell you what to change to. I can't tell you what change to quote-unquote advocate for. I can't tell you what kind of changes to make in your life. I wouldn't presume to. It would be disrespectful of me to even suggest what kinds of changes people should make, whatever they are. But I can tell you that I do know from experience in my life that if nothing changes, nothing's going to change. All right, before I close, just want to talk about business coaches and trying to figure out how you pivot your business or how you work your business what you do with your business in these crazy times. So let's talk about business coaches, specifically Les J. Hill. If you got into business to do what everybody else is doing, Les isn't your guy. In fact, he said that to me the other day. But if you got into business to blaze your own trail, Les J. Hill is somebody you want to work with. Les J. Hill is an innovative business coach. So what does he do? Well, first of all, he's going to concentrate on helping you with better communications, making your company run for both efficiency and profitability. And the best way to describe what he does is that he uses a holistic and organic approach. That means that you and Les are going to develop solutions from your experience and his experience that address unique business opportunities and the challenges of your business. Les is an award-winning sales executive, business coach. He's had a lifetime of work experience in many, many businesses on the line and in management. And he has the connections to get you the best legal and financial help that you need when you need it. So the key word here with Les J. Hill is integrity. Improve communications, increase performance, empower individuals and organizations, facilitate effective team building, and help you establish and achieve goals. Les J. Hill, creative business and personal coaching. Here's the number, 612-867-0104. That's 612-867-0104. Or check him out at lesismorecoaching.com. And then finally, what are your dreams? If you are looking at your house and you're saying, I would like to, what? Fill in the blank. I'd like to have my garage be a man cave slash office because I'm not working in the office anymore. I just want to get out of the house, even if it's separated and in the office, in a really cool space that I can use year round. This is the guy you want to work with. Whitetail Builders at whitetailbuildersinc.com. They're in Andover. Randy Grabo is great. He's been doing four season porches, which means taking a deck and turning it into a four season porch. He's been doing office spaces. I've seen one of the office spaces that he did, and it's amazing. And he loves talking to people about what they want to do. So whether it's a new kitchen or changing the house to make an upstairs bedroom suite, that's great. Call Randy at 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. They are focused on details. Randy's a great craftsman. They're going to be with you every step of the way, which means there's going to be agreement on what you agreed on and getting that thing to happen. And you're going to be happy with the work. Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota. Whitetail Builders, Inc. Or call 612-282-8801. 612-282-8801. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. Well, storm's rolling in, and it is time to say goodbye again. Getting ready for a big trip, and I'll tell you more about that once we get on it. Quick sip of coffee. And to say thanks for tuning in, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts, podcast 946.